Praise the Lord, everybody. Praise God indeed. What a beautiful morning the Lord's given us. Morning after the rain. You know, as I was sitting there thinking, listening to the music this morning and just having a moment of prayer, the Lord has always, always had time to hear when I pray. And He does when you pray also. I just want to thank the Lord, just praise His name this morning. I want to welcome everyone watching on the live feed as you're signing in now, hopefully. And for those who'll be watching at a later date, know that we're just lifting up the word of the Lord this morning with praise, worship, and with the reading of His word and His message that He has for us. Really excited about what God is doing. You know, as we get ready to pray and open our service this morning, and again, I just always want to give God the glory. Just want to thank Him for His love and His peace and for keeping us safe. You know, no matter what we're going through at this time, and God knows what each and every one of us are, He knows the depths of our heart. You know, there are times that when we really don't know what to say, but we have that feeling inside. First of all, we just need to know that there is an Almighty God that's in charge of everything, the great I Am. And to know that He has control of each and every situation. And as we turn our attention to Him this morning, again, no matter where you're at or where your situation is, I just want you to know how much Jesus loves you. Loves you so much that He gave His life for you and I, that we may forever have that peace and that hope in His name, and that's the name of Jesus Christ. We're going to go to the Lord in prayer this morning as we open up our service. Hope everyone's doing well. For those of you that are struggling right now, whether it be with sickness, with loss, with a situation maybe you don't have an answer for, as I just said, we know a God that can and will if we place all of our hope in Him. That means we got to surrender our life to Him this morning or at any time if we have already. If not, this is a perfect opportunity, no matter where you are, just to let the Lord just minister to you this morning and just want to give Him all the honor and glory. We're going to go to the Lord in prayer. If you have a prayer request this morning, and I just like to do it just as an opinion of faith, a show of faith, raise your hand or whatever the situation is, whether you're not able to stand, not able to lift your head up this morning. I just want you to know that to cry out to Jesus and our Lord, that it's well worth it. And we just let you know how much He loves you. Our most gracious and heavenly Father, Lord, we just praise You this morning. Dear Lord, as we come to You and we open this service, Lord, we want to give You all the honor and all the glory. Dear Lord, we just want to lift You up. Lord, we just want to praise You. Lord, we just want to tell You how much we love You. And dear Lord, we're nothing without You this morning, dear Lord, or at any time. Lord, there's times of struggle, there's times of sorrow, there's times of need, and there's those times of victory, dear Lord, that we can place in Your hand, dear Lord, as we look at the situations and what You've brought us through and to where we are today, dear Lord, we just praise You. Lord, as for everyone watching in now on this feed, and the Lord, those that are present with us in our sanctuary, Lord, I ask that You'll just receive every instrument played, every song sung, every hand that's raised, dear Lord, as we just worship You. Dear Lord, we're looking forward to gathering together again. And, dear Lord, we know that in Your heavenly places that You've placed for us. Lord, again, for those that are sick, those that are shut in, dear Lord, those that are in the hospitals right now, Lord, those that are just seem so lost, Lord, we're lifting them up to You now, dear Lord. You see each and every person that's watching now, and You know our hearts. And, dear Lord, we just praise You. We worship You. Lord, we honor You this morning, dear Lord, and we're looking forward to Your message. Lord, open up our hearts, our minds, and our ears, that it would just not be words that are spoken, dear Lord, that they'll pierce our hearts. And, dear Lord, that we'll take this with us, and, dear Lord, and know that this is the day that You have made, dear Lord, and we just praise and worship You. Lord, we ask now that You'll bless our pastor and his family, strengthen them, and, dear Lord, and just continue to bless our church as You have so much. And, dear Lord, we give You all the honor and glory in Jesus' name. Amen, amen, amen. As tradition that I love to do, I just want to give the Lord a hand clap of praise this morning. Just tell Him how much we love Him and we praise Him this morning. Praise the Lord. I just want you to be comfortable. Turn off everything that's distracting. And let's just turn our mind on the Lord. I don't have any announcements right this second. So I'm going to go ahead and turn it over to Miss Jennifer. And y'all just have a wonderful, wonderful morning. Praise God.
Y'all worship as we sing, "We've Got the Power." Give me Your hand. Let's agree together. And all our enemies will crumble at our feet. For whatever we bind on earth will be bound in heaven.
The anchor.
Praise the Lord. Thank God for the anchor. How many knows who that anchor is this morning? His name is Jesus. What a wonderful, wonderful name. Amen. What a wonderful opportunity to have a relationship with Jesus this morning. Let's do Jesus. That beautiful name. That name that no other name under heaven is given whereby man might be saved. Jesus, 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 there's something about that name, Master, Savior,
Precious and holy name that is. So good to be in the house of the Lord this morning. We are missing so many of our congregation and praying for each and every one of them, hoping that you are able to tune in this morning via live stream. Amen. And pray for us this morning as we carry on the work of the Lord and the word of the Lord. As we often say, if there's one thing that this world needs today, it is the word of the Lord. Amen. You can depend on a lot of things and they'll let you down. But I will assure you, if you depend on the Word of God, His Word will never, ever let us down. This morning, our heart and our thoughts go to the book of Joel the prophet, one of the lesser prophets, if there was such a thing. I think it just means that he wrote less than some of the other major prophets. But we want to go to the book of Joel and the second chapter this morning to bring the message that the Lord has been dealing with our heart this entire week. Joel, the second chapter, verses 1 and 2, if you would like to turn with us there at home. Reading from God's precious and holy word. The prophet writes, "Blow ye the trumpet in Zion, and sound an alarm in my holy mountain.
Let all the inhabitants of the land tremble, for the day of the Lord cometh, for it is nigh at hand. A day of darkness and of gloominess, a day of clouds and of thick darkness, as the morning spread upon the mountains, a great people and a strong. There hath not been ever the like, neither shall there any more after it, even to the years of many generations. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, how thankful we are for this day and this opportunity, and for your precious and holy word. Lord, I pray this morning, God, that you would anoint these lips of clay, God, this vessel this morning, God, that the Holy Ghost might speak to our hearts, God, and to our lives to enrich us, God, to give us strength and power over the days that we must face, over the tribulations and persecutions that seemingly are coming in bunches during this time. Father, I pray for those who are struggling this morning with physical sickness, ailments, and afflictions. Father, praying that your holy power would reach there right now into their home or hospital, wherever they may be. Touch them, strengthen them, and anoint them. And Father, our heart goes out to those who have lost loved ones recently, God, through tragic deaths. God, I pray, Lord, that you would comfort those families. God, be with them in this time of grief and sorrow. And again, Lord, I ask you now, God, just to have your will and way. We'll give you praise and honor and glory. We ask all these blessings in that name that is above all name, in the name of Jesus. Amen. God bless you this morning. Our message title this morning would simply be Blow the Trumpet in Zion. Blow the Trumpet in Zion. Blow the Trumpet is mentioned several times in the Word of God. We have looked back and we have seen where we have brought sermons before concerning the blowing of the trumpet. The blowing of the trumpet was something that sometimes was called for war. Sometimes it was called, as the children of Israel moved in the wilderness journey, it was just to gather the people together to let them know to break up camp and get ready to move, because the power of God and the voice of God had spoken to Moses, the leader, and said, it's time to go. So in order to get the attention of all of the outlying tents and those that were surrounding around the camp, they would blow the ram's horn, letting them know it was time to gather. But what is specific here in the Word of God through the prophet Joel is God spoke to him and told him to proclaim this to Israel and to Jerusalem. He specifically told Joel to tell the people to blow the trumpet in Zion. It is really, really pertinent to notice that he says specifically in Zion. If you remember, Zion was called God's holy hill. Zion was a hill in Jerusalem. It was the place where David built his palace and where he ruled over Israel for a number of years. It was so proclaimed that God's holy presence was there in that mountain. It was significant as God's word and God's mighty presence over the children of Israel, and especially in Jerusalem. But I want to tell you something. Jerusalem had become complacent and had strayed from God's ordinances. The enemy saw an opportunity to overpower them. Can I also tell you that today spiritual complacency has led to a comfort zone in which the church has become weak and lethargic? The adversary has seized upon this opportunity to wage an all-out war on God's people. So this message today does not only apply to the Jerusalem and the hill of Zion and the people of Israel in that particular day and time, but I believe it's a foreshadow of what we're facing today and what has transpired over the last 6 to 8 months. And really, if we think about it, it has been transpiring even before this last situation. Let's go to Israel now. Let's go to Jerusalem now. Let's go to the prophet Joel and understand what is going on during this particular time. As I've already stated, Jerusalem had become complacent. They had become weak in spirit only because they had strayed from God's word and God's commandments, God's ordinances. And history tells us every time that they did that,
they would reap the consequences. But many, many times they would repent and ask the Lord again, and God, through His abundant mercy and His forgiveness, would come on the scene again. So Joel is moved on by the Spirit of God to proclaim a warning, if you would, and sounding an alarm to the children of Israel. It's really, really important to know that he's not just talking about that in the outermost parts of Jerusalem. He's sounding a warning to the church. He's sounding a warning to the hill of Zion, to the place where it was noted to be a solid rock of faith and the power of God, and relying on the power of God to protect Jerusalem during many, many times of struggle and trial. But here's what happened. Something has attacked them. We find through Bible history that a plague of locusts has come in, and it has wreaked havoc upon the land, affecting the economy, affecting the attitude and the mentality of the people. It seemed like everything that they had worked for and all the success that they had was now a thing of the past, and hunger was rampant, and people had lost so much during this time of this great plague of the locusts come in, and during this particular time they depended on their crops, and they depended on the wheat, and they depended on the many things and the grain, and the locusts had come in and destroyed everything. So there was discouragement, there was anxiety among the peoples, and on top of that, here the prophet hears from God and tells them it is time to blow the trumpet, it is time to rally the troops, it is time to sound an alarm, because as we are in a weakened condition, we have set ourselves up for a prey for the enemy to come in and overpower us. And if I could send out a warning today, I would blow the trumpet in the church. I would blow the trumpet to the pastors. I would blow the trumpet to the congregation. I would blow the trumpet especially to those who have become lukewarm and indifferent to church and indifferent to the Word of God. And let me just remind us that the only success that we're going to have, the only power that we're going to be able to muster in this day and hour, is through the Word of God and through His power and His power alone. There's no man can do it. There's no army that can do it. There's no political affiliation that can do it. We must rely on the Word of God, and we must rely on His power. And here is the alarm that's going forth today in the city of Zion, in the hill of Zion. Reach out. Take hold of the power of God. Take hold of the horns of the altar. Pray as we've never prayed before. It seems terrible that we have to encourage the church to pray. We should have been praying all along, but because of the lack of prayer, because of the lack of concentration and dedication to the power of God, and we have grown complacent, we have grown weak, and now is a time that we need to call to all the churches together, all the born again saints of God, to rally around, lay down your little opinions and your differences, and come together as the body of Christ, and once again fall on the altar of God and begin to pray that God will move again in this land as He had done before. Jerusalem, once a mighty city. Jerusalem, once feared by many enemies because of the power of God that was on the side of Jerusalem, now finds itself in a weakened condition, in a backslidden condition, if you want to acknowledge it as a spiritual situation, and find today that many people have also grown. I probably don't need to remind you today that there is an all-out war on Christianity. Let me just kind of lay the politics aside for a little bit. Let me just kind of lay aside the news media for just a little bit. And there's a lot of anger. There's a lot of mistrust. And there's a lot of frustration and anxiety with what's happening in the world today. And people are pointing fingers to both sides, and they're pointing fingers to different ideologies and things. But can I tell you, there has been a work in progress over the years. And I don't attribute it to man. I don't attribute it to
political situation, I attribute it to the power of the adversary. He has seized upon this division. He has seized upon this time of unrest. And he sees and he knows that the church has become lethargic. The church has become complacent. The church seemingly no longer is a place for reverence and power and seeking the will of God. It's more of a place for social gathering. It's more a place, amen, where we have programs to entice people to come in. There is not a program that can stand against the adversary. The only thing that the adversary is going to understand and going to make an impression in his spirit, amen, is the mighty power of God and his word, and it must come back through the halls of prayer and consecration in the work of God and in his churches. A great and strong people now are ready to devour them. Bible history tells us that the Chaldeans and the Babylonians were the most notable armies during this specific time that Jerusalem was weakened. And let me just remind you, Satan will always come against the church. He will always come against God's people. But when we are prepared with the battle, the armor, and we are prepared for battle, Satan cannot prevail. He cannot overpower us, because we say it all the time, greater is he that is within us than he that's in the world. But if Satan is anything, and I want you to listen to this, if Satan is anything, he is patient. He waits his time. He waits his opportunity to come in to a weakened, to a dissatisfied situation in the churches, in our lives, in our families, in our country, and in our nation. And I have to remind us this morning that our nation may not be as strong as it thinks that it is. Because over the past several years, the nation, this great nation that we're so proud of and so wonderful and thankful that we live in, has placed its power, amen, in the arms race, placed its power, amen, in what significant weapons that we can build up. But let me understand, as long as we prepare ourselves physically, we need to prepare ourselves spiritually. We do not need to get away from God. We do not need to get away from the Bible. We do not need to get away from the commandments, the ordinances, and the precepts of God, because we could have all the weaponry in the world, but if we have forgotten God and let God slip out of our nation, we are a nation that is setting ourselves up for a great fall, because there is an overwhelming power that is ready now to seize the opportunity to come in. But I assure you that God is still on the side of the believers, and that's the reason that this call is going out today to the believers. So many people are just going to turn this off and shut this off and say, that's just another loudmouth preacher proclaiming. But I'm talking to the church today. I'm blowing the horn. I'm blowing the sound in the churches. I'm telling the churches to wake up. I'm telling the ministers to wake up. I'm telling the evangelists to wake up. Sound an alarm, because what's going on in this world should not drive us from the power of God, but should drive us to the power of God. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these other things, amen, will come to be. Prepare for battle is the cry. Prepare for an onslaught of the enemy. Not a call to the army necessarily. If you look later in the scripture, as Joel begins to prophesy, he's not really calling to the army of Israel. He's not really calling to the commanders and those mighty men of valor. But he's calling to the church. He's sounding alarm to the church. Church, pray like you've never prayed before. I've heard many ministers here of late talking about getting back to prayer. Not just a little say-me prayer, but an earnest prayer and petition before God. This is what Joel speaks of, and he's speaking to the church, telling us that we need again to be strong in our prayer and in our fasting. It's not a call to the army, it's not a call to the government, but it is a call to the church. As I said at the very onset of this message, many, many times the Bible refers to the blowing of the trumpet.
But this is a specific place to blow the trumpet in Zion, the hill of God, the mountain of God, the very place where God's power was so significant. And as we say this word today, and as we bring this word to you, it is a call to the church. It is a call to the church goers. I know that we're frustrated now. I know that there's situations that are out of our hands, and many churches are not able to open the doors and have corporate worship again. And let me tell you something, of all of that that we have to abide by, Satan is loving every minute of it. But I'm going to tell you, one of these days, very soon now, I hope it's going to be all right to open up the church doors again. And I want us to take advantage of that opportunity. I know you don't have to be saved and sitting in a church house. But if you don't need the power of God, please come support the ministry. Please come into the house of God with one mind and one accord as we gather together. Amen. We are our brother's keeper. And as a force mighty, that when we come together as one, we are a force that cannot be reckoned with, because we stand on the mighty principles of God, and God is our captain. Amen. And we will win the battle through God and through His power. But it is a call to the church. I want us to focus on verse 15 through 18 in the same chapter, the second chapter of the book of Joel. He gets a little bit more specific. He begins to explain what the prophecy is intended to do. And if the prophecy is intended to do anything, it's to wake up the church. It's to shake the church. It's to beckon and call the church to come together. And I'm not necessarily just specifically talking about this local assembly. I'm talking about to all Christians all over this world, all Bible believers, all of those who have been washed in the blood of Jesus Christ. We need to come together, lay aside our little differences and our opinions, and come together in the Word of God to pray for the healing of this land, to pray that once again that we would be a nation under God. Amen. Joel writes in the verse, in 15th verse, he says, "Blow the trumpet in Zion, sanctify a fast, call a solemn assembly, gather the people, sanctify the congregation, assemble the elders, gather the children, and those that suck the breast of the bridegroom go forth of his chamber, and the bride out of her closet. Let the priests, the ministers of the Lord, weep between the porch and the altar, and let them say, spare thy people, O Lord, and give not thine heritage to reproach, that the heathen should rule over them. Wherefore should they say among the people, where is their God? Then will the Lord be jealous for his land and pity his people." This is a cry from Joel the prophet to the children, to the Christians, to the believers, to God's people, to once again come out of their complacency, come out and step out of their comfort zone. Get serious about serving God again. Amen. Get on fire. Sanctification in our life. Sanctifying ourselves from the cares of this world, from the things that surround us. Understand that we are not only dressed, amen, with the armor of God, but we have the shield of faith. Can I encourage you as Christians to use that shield of faith again? There is times we need to ward off those fiery darts. Those fiery darts may not always come in the form of a material thing. They may be spiritual things that are constantly bombarding us. I have seen the fiery darts of depression and anxiety. It's almost like an onslaught right now. Satan is attacking Christians. Satan is attacking longtime servants of God with anxiety and depression, and all of these cares are the thing. But it's time to pick up the shield of faith and ward off those fiery darts. Not only just keep the armor of God, but use that shield of faith, which is mobile. Forever, for those things come against us, that power and that shield is able to protect us from those fiery darts. What does Joel say? He says, blow the trumpet. Blow the trumpet. And basically, sound an alarm. Let people know. You know, the next opportunity that we have, and I'm sure in today's situation, that opportunity will arise sooner than later. When someone begins to talk about everything that's going wrong and all the troubles and all the fear and all the anxious moments that are transpiring in this world today, and the news media, and seemingly it just amplifies it and makes it worse. Can we encourage them, amen, to be able to blow the trumpet? Can we tell them a warning? Can we tell them, put your faith and trust in God? Do not put it in man. Do not put it in a nation. Do not put it in God, or the things other than God, but put your faith and trust in a never failing God. Sanctify a fast. You know, just doing without food is not necessarily a fast. You might refer to that as a diet. Many people use that as a time of fasting unto the Lord. But a sanctified fast is one that not only pushes back the food and pushes back the plate, but it uses that time and opportunity to hear from God. Lord, I'm not only sacrificing and pushing away the plate, but God, I'm sacrificing my time to be a vessel, to listen to you, God, to be moved by your Spirit, to be obedient, God, to lay aside every weight and every sin that does so easily beset me, to use this time to have a closer walk with you, to use this time to exercise the faith so that I may be strong in the time of warfare, so that I may be able to stand and to stand fast in the power that I will receive from a sanctified fast. So many times we set aside in those times of fasting, amen, merely just to see what we can do to maybe build ourselves up. But it's not about building ourselves up. In fact, fasting is about making ourselves weak. The Bible says, when I am weak, then am I strong. How in the world can that mean anything except that when my body grows weak, my spirit grows stronger? Father, I pray that I would have such a hunger for the Spirit that is within me that it would supersede the hunger that I have to feed this flesh. Not only to feed this flesh, the material things of this world and the food and all, those are the things, amen, that the flesh wants. But God, my spirit desires a closer walk with you. My spirit desires a total and absolute dependency on you. You and your word help me once again, God, to hit the altar and pray and fast and seek a mighty move of God, not only for ourselves, but for the church, and praise God also for the nation in which we live. Assemble the people. Assemble the people. If there was ever a time for people to come together, it's the day and hour that we're living in. There is so much diversity today. There is so much division today. Every little thing seems to divide our society more and more and more. It has infiltrated our churches. It has infiltrated our families. Has actually come into our workplaces. We dwell so much on the differences that we have that we fail to recognize and appreciate sometimes, amen, the things that we have in common. And as a minister, as a man of God, nothing more, just a vessel that God has seen somehow to maybe use to reach out to those that are lost. But as a minister, my hope and my desire is that we draw together as a people, that we come together, that we assemble ourselves, not only in the church houses, certainly assemble yourself. The word says, forsake not the assembling of yourself, praying one for another. That means more than just showing up. That means coming and getting involved in the service and praying for your brother and sister. But the preacher that is within me wants to blow the trumpet and say, church, people, nations, let's come together. Families, let's come together on the things that we can agree on. And what we can agree on is the statutes and the precepts and the holy word of God, and apply them to our lives. And once again, live by the principles that God has ordained in his word. Call the elders. Dear Lord, I miss so much the many elders of the church, those precious saints of God that had nothing else to rely on except God. Do you know that they came through hard times?
things that we would call almost impossible, that they came through them. Why? Because they depended on God. The great fathers and grandfathers and grandmothers of those generations past, that seemingly that when everything began to fall down around them, they didn't give up. They didn't complain. They didn't throw their hands up and say, "I surrender." They threw their hands up and says, "God, I surrender to you." And they prayed for a mighty move of God. And even in the time of great devastation, even in the times of depression, the children of God drew closer to Him. I'm telling you today, folks, if we'll take our eyes off of the problem and put our eyes on the problem solver and put our faith and trust in God, God will see us through any storm or any adversity that we have to endure in this life. Call the elders. Oh, I wished that so many of our praying saints were still able today. They knew how to pray. But then he'd say, "What are you talking about?" I'm talking about those precious saints of God. They didn't wait till they got to church to pray. They prayed before they ever left the house. I believe they prayed every morning and every night. They prayed for their family. They prayed for their crops. They prayed for their livestock. My granddaddy Allen once had a sick calf, and he went down and he laid his hands on that calf and he said, "In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, I pray for that calf," and that calf recovered. Why? Because God was the only thing that generation had to depend on. And we've gotten away from that. We try to use every other antidote. We try to use every other thing to fix things. And when nothing else seems to work, then and only then we seek God. But let me tell you today, it's time to blow the trumpet and say, we need to depend on God first and foremost in our life. A call to the elders. You say, "Brother Eddie, I wish we had those elders." Let me remind you that we have become those elders. How are we going to leave this next generation? Are we going to leave an impact on them to say, "You know what, that was a praying church. That was a Bible-believing church. Even when things got rough, they didn't quit." We are those elders now. Those of you that have had a relationship with the Lord, regardless of your age, if you had a relationship for a number of years, you have become an elder. It's time to be that elder. It's time to be dependent on God and begin to pray and seek God. And through the gathering of the elders and call the elders, it's time to get serious, folks, about serving God. Then it said, "Let the priests minister." Man. Doesn't say, "Let the priests tickle the ears." Doesn't say, "Let the priests make everybody feel good. Tell them all these wonderful things that life has for you." Let me tell you something. I've been taught all my life that life is hard. Life is difficult. If you're expecting an easy road, you're going to be very, very disappointed. Life will chew you up and spit you out in pieces if you don't have something to stand for. What's the old song? If you don't stand for something, you'll fall for anything. My parents taught me at a very early age, the only thing I can really depend on is a relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. He'll never fail you. He'll never let you down. He'll never leave nor forsake you. That's the relationship that I depend on, and I depend on His strength. Let the ministers, it's time to begin to preach again the crucifixion, the resurrection, and the victory of the cross through Jesus Christ coming, amen, down off of that cross. He's alive and well. He's not buried in some tomb somewhere. He's not a forgotten entity. He's alive and well. He's strong today, as strong as He ever would, and He's reaching out His hands, seeking those who may come unto Him to have a relationship. Preach the blood of Jesus Christ. Preach the saving grace. Preach, amen, water baptism. Preach living a holy and righteous life before the Lord. Gather the children together. Let the ministers begin to minister again from what thus saith the Word of God. Always turn to the Word of God. Then he says, weep. Weep and pray. Weep and pray. When we weep, we're basically saying, "God, I'm nothing without you." When we weep, we realize what a weakened condition that humanity is and how frail that we are without that dependency on the Spirit of God. But when we weep and pray, Not only do we recognize our inability, but we recognize the ability of God. We understand our powerlessness, but we also understand the all-powerfulness of God. He says, weep before the porch and the altar. A time of constant praying and constant weeping is basically what Joel is referring to. The Bible says in the New Testament, cease not, amen, the praying. Pray without ceasing one for another. Amen. How can you do that constantly with the word of the Lord and His power on our hearts and minds wherever we go? The next time you're facing adversity, remind that adversity whose side that you're on. The next time the enemy comes to try to destroy your faith, to try to tear you down, let him know that greater is that spirit within me than that thing that I'm facing. Higher than any mountain, greater than any problem, more powerful than anything that we could face in this world, in this earth. Weep and pray between the porch and the altar. We think and say so often, how can it get worse? It seems like everything that comes against us, we sort of get used to that and then something else befalls us. Let me assure us today, we're never going to find real peace and comfort in this world. We're not put here to live. We're put here to get ready to live. That place that we're going to, that destination, that heavenly home, there'll be no depression, there'll be no sadness, there'll be no sorrow, there'll be no sickness, no affliction. All diseases and all afflictions will be a thing of the past. And praise God, there'll be no more death. We have God's promise for that. But it doesn't promise that we're going to be trouble-free in this world. But you know, even though we have trouble, even though we have adversity, we've got a God that's greater than anything that we'll ever, ever face. So let's pray and let's weep between the porch and the altar. Maybe not only just in the church house, but in our homes. Gather your family together. And as we pray today, I was just kind of laid on by the Spirit of God as we have our closing prayer today to encourage those of you that are viewing or listening via the live stream, would pray with us if you have your family there to maybe join hands and pray as we pray together. But before I end this message, I want to leave you with a ray of hope. How many knows that whatever situations transpired in the Bible, there was always a ray of hope? And can I encourage you today, as we look around us and we see darkness and we see gloom, many places in the Bible, it exemplified the darkness as gross darkness, total darkness, void of light. And we see that transpiring in the world. Not necessarily the physical light, but a spiritual darkness that is in the world. The ideology that I spoke of earlier, it's more than political. It's an onslaught. It's a battle against God and God's Word. There are those, and many now, we used to think it was just few, but there's many now that would love to see Christianity completely wiped off of the face of the earth. Anything that refers to Christ and Christianity should be stricken. There's that movement. And how has that happened? It's been allowed to happen. What one generation allows becomes the norm of the next generation. We have to point fingers at ourselves, church. We have to point fingers at ourselves. For many, many years, we've come into our churches and our four walls, and we worshiped and praised the Lord, and God has blessed us, and we've got comfortable, and we've got complacent, worshiping and feeling the presence of the Lord, only to go back out into a very dark and gloomy world with situation that's going on around us, some of them completely out of our control. But what we've done, we've kind of turned our head from that and said, you know what, as long as we're in the confines of our friendly church, we'll be all right. But can I tell you, Satan has looked, he's been patient, and now he's attacking the church. He's attacking the Christians. He's attacking you and me. But I also want to leave you with a ray of hope. As much as we've talked about the enemies, and the enemies here that was about to come upon Jerusalem and become and come against Israel, were basically two joined forces. You know, a lot of people would point to Bible prophecies and say, you know what?
That seems to be transpiring in the world today. God doesn't just put accidental things in the Word of God. The prophets were not just prophesying, amen, to appease the people. They were prophesying what God had spoken to them. And if you will notice, many, many, many things that transpired in the Bible are simply a type and shadow of future things to happen. And we're living in that future time of prophecy being fulfilled right now before our very eyes. So the Chaldeans and the Babylonians, the two strongest enemies at that particular time, were ready to unite and converge on little weakened Jerusalem, little weakened Israel. But you know what? The prophet also said in verse number 32, let me back up. Let me go ahead and read 28, because 28 also goes into the New Testament. And the New Testament refers to as the days of Joel. Listen to this. In the 28th verse of the second chapter of the book of Joel, the prophet, that same prophet that talked about these two enemies, that same prophet that talked about and reminded Israel that they had just been devastated by tearing away of their crops and everything by the locust, he said, there's still hope. There's still a ray of hope. He said, and it shall come to pass afterward that I will pour out my spirit upon all flesh, and your sons and your daughters shall prophesy. Your old men shall dream dreams. Your young men shall see visions. And also upon the servants and upon the handmaids. In those days will I pour out my spirit, and I will show wonders in the heavens and in the earth, blood and fire and pillars of smoke. The sun shall be turned into darkness and the moon into blood before the great and terrible day of the Lord come. And it shall come to pass that whosoever shall call on the name of the Lord shall be delivered. Church, we ought to shout hallelujah, because we know that our deliverance is going to come through the name of the Lord. Let me read that again. And it shall come to pass that whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be delivered. For in Mount Zion and in Jerusalem shall be deliverance, and the Lord hath said, and in the remnant whom the Lord shall call. In just a matter of the beginning of a chapter until the very ending of the chapter, we have seen what is going to transpire. There's going to be hard times. There's going to be difficult times. There's going to be an enemy that would come in and try to swallow us up. But the ray of hope and the voice of the Lord speaking through the prophet Joel says that it shall come to pass that whosoever shall call on the name of the Lord shall be delivered. Where? In the church, in Mount Zion, and in Jerusalem. That is the only place that we can find solace. That is the only place that we can find comfort and peace, is in the church of the Lord. Not the building, but in the body of Christ. I assure you, and I urge you this morning, that if you have not made preparation for this terrible day, you know, we think things are bad now, but according to prophecy, it's going to get worse. But say, Brother Eddie, how in the world can it get worse? It's going to get worse, because God's going to have His way. But those that remain true, those that trust in God, those that have a relationship, have invited Jesus Christ into their life as Lord and Savior, been washed in the precious blood of Jesus Christ, need not worry, need not fret, because God is going to redeem us and deliver us. So take your eyes off of the situation, put your eyes on God. And let me urge you this morning, if you've not made preparation, if you've been putting it off and putting it off and putting it off, today is the day of salvation. Make Jesus Christ your Lord and Savior. You can do it in the comfort of your home. You can do it right there on your couch. You can do it right there with a bended knee if you prefer. Bow down and surrender your life to the Lord. Ask Jesus Christ to come into your life. Ask Him to help you. Ask Him to bless and anoint your family. If you're already born again and saved, you already have the Spirit of the Lord within you, use this time of prayer and fasting to get closer to the Lord and to bring your family in. If you know family members that are lost, urge them to come and make a commitment to Christ. This is the day that the Lord hath made. I will rejoice and be glad in it. May God bless you as our prayer. Hopefully, next Sunday we are planning and preparing to open up church doors again and once again have corporate worship. Invite you to be with us if you possibly can, understanding if you still feel uncomfortable or if you're still experiencing some of the symptoms, then you're encouraged maybe to stay back and maybe come at a latter time. But for those who are hungry and those who are seemingly well, we're going to open the doors next Sunday morning for our regular corporate worship. And we're looking so forward to seeing each and every one of you. May God bless you and keep you through these very treacherous times, and understand that the Lord Jesus Christ will never leave you nor forsake you. May God bless you as we prepare to pray. Again, I would ask you, if you would, maybe take hold of the family's hands and just maybe pray a family prayer with us as we prepare to dismiss this morning. Dear Heavenly Father, Father, we're so thankful for your word, and we're so thankful, God, that you are a God that never fails and you'll never leave us. Father, you understood these days and hours that we're living in now. Nobody understands them greater than you, because nothing is hid from you, O Lord. Father, I pray for strength. I pray, God, that we would remain steadfast, Lord, and confident in your power. Pray that we would once again fast and pray as the word encourages us to do so. Praying for those who are sick today, praying for those who are affected by the virus, praying, God, for your complete healing in their body. Strengthen and anoint them. Praying for our land, praying for our nation, praying for its leaders. God, praying for those who keep the peace, those first responders. God, I ask you to bless and look at each and every family that's tuning in today, those that are standing there arm in arm, hand in hand with their family. God, praying for a closer walk with you. Pray, God, that you would hear their prayers and answer their prayers. And God, be with us throughout this day. Keep us safe, and we'll give you all the praise, the honor, and the glory. For we ask all these blessings in Jesus' name, amen. God bless you. We love you from First Pentecostal Church. Have a blessed day.
Sometimes I feel like I'm just walking around with my head up in the clouds. I'm steady moving, but I'm not gaining ground. Heading the wrong way in the crowd. Then I remember I'm not part of this world. I'm moving higher each day. Upward mobility sounds mighty good to me. I just can't wait to get away. Got to remember I'm not here to stay. I'm looking forward to a brighter day. Got to remember I'm not here for long. I'm just living in my temporary temporary.